Welcome to the debut episode of the Grant Us Knowledge podcast. I'm Grant Goulibon. I'm the Deputy State Director with Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania. And Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania is a statewide organization that's dedicated to breaking down barriers that impede Pennsylvanians from reaching their full potential. Some of those barriers are barriers to educational opportunity, barriers to voluntary community associations where folks are helping their fellow Pennsylvanians improve their lives and be all that they can be, and barriers to economic opportunity and to job growth. So this podcast is intended to be about statewide issues of concern that are before the elected officials in Harrisburg, and also intended to provide information and knowledge for people all around the state to be able to make a difference in their communities and to influence public policy. So on this debut episode, the first issue that we want to tackle is one of economic opportunity. One of the things Americans for Prosperity does all across the country is trying to empower people to earn success through fulfilling work and to give people the widest possible range of ways that they can do that in whatever arrangements they so choose. But unfortunately, efforts at both the state and the federal level are threatening to undermine this type of entrepreneurialism by imposing requirements that would severely impact the way that people can serve and work as independent contractors. Now, this is bad for workers, it's bad for the economy, and it's an issue of fairness in terms of how people are treated in terms of making the types of work arrangements that work for them. So today, I have two guests with me, two ladies who are have intimate knowledge of this issue. And my first guest is Erica Jednak. Erica is Director of Economic Opportunity with Stand Together, which is sort of the umbrella organization of under which Americans for Prosperity operates. And Erica, very nice to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Grant, thank you so much for having me.
Well, no problem. First of all, I think, a lot of people, people obviously have heard the term independent contractor. They're familiar with them. They've used them. But even though we hear the term frequently, we don't always stop to think of everything that means. So in today's economy, who are independent contractors? I mean, how do they differ from regular business employees?
Independent contractors are hired on a contract basis to perform services outside of the direct control of an employer. So think of gig economy workers, freelancers, realtors, many self-employed entrepreneurs, and really workers in a diverse set of professions, whether that's yoga instructors, even optometrists who might go from one a store to the next and have a schedule that way, or even hairstylists. And I think the difference for your listeners today to understand is that employers, they don't collect payroll taxes on behalf of these workers, right? These workers have 1099s that they file with taxes. And freelancers are shaping their careers around fulfilling work in different seasons of life. Many are primary caregivers, adjusting to different childcare needs, or really just building out a side hustle that will be a full-fledged business one day.
Yes, I mean as we've seen in the news and seen reported in terms of our own personal experience, we find that it is becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, how common is independent contracting becoming in the current economic climate in terms of its percentage of or share of the national and state economies?
A ton of Americans have some type of income. So 57 million Americans freelanced in some way last year. That's over 35% of the U.S. workforce. Going back a couple years, it was closer to 15 million that were full-time freelancers and building a business and source of income that way. And every year we've seen that grow. Now, I believe that when we get some more information and we're through some of this pandemic, we're going to see that number skyrocket even more. especially during economic shutdowns. Americans were relying on Instacart, on Uber Eats, on all different types of delivery services. And then even in the healthcare system, there were nurses and different medical professionals moving around facilities, and they were actually independent contractors. So this is actually really common, and freelancing is becoming more and more of a long-term career choice because it brings flexibility. And I think this is just a great example of American entrepreneurialism and really the American dream.
Now, you mentioned the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, and so often throughout our history, you know, it's been common that Americans have risen to challenges like that by innovating and finding different, better ways to deliver services and products. But, of course, along with innovation and entrepreneurialism, unfortunately, oftentimes brings the attention and involvement of the heavy hand of government at all levels. What are some of the primary laws, regulations, initiatives that that govern independent contracting, and how are those changing in the current environment?
There's a lot. And, you know, I speak with small entrepreneurs, folks who are looking to start their own business all the time. I'm constantly hearing about just the regulatory web about how difficult it is. And, you know, contracting is really no different. So it's a troublesome process because there's different standards at different levels of government. So the IRS, they make a determination for a tax status. Then the U.S. Department of Labor makes decisions on wages, unemployment, workers' compensation, through their own determination under the Fair Labor Standards Act. And then the National Labor Relations Board has the ability to determine its own standards irrespective of the IRS and DOL requirements. So that's just at the federal level. And then we've seen some state action in recent years. And I would say the most troubling and what's been in the news most recently is California. They've instituted very, very strict requirements to the point that as soon as the law got enacted, 250,000 people lost their jobs. As many as a million people have lost some type of income. So we're seeing that kind of government intervention at different levels of government more and more.
Now, of course, you know, many times, usually more for ill than for good, what comes out of California ends up being a model for the rest of the nation. Can you talk a little bit about what they've done in California and how that's affected the independent contractor portion of the economy?
California, they implemented what is called a very restrictive ABC test. So the ABC test in California, I'll just go over what it stands for. A is an absence of control from the employer. Again, just it's a requirement to prove that someone is an independent contractor. B is the business of the worker. So the work of an independent contractor cannot be part of usual activity of a business. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. And then C, customarily engaged. So independent contractors are expected to be customarily engaged in providing their services on a regular basis to other entities outside of one contract. So why this is really restrictive, again, California is requiring those three things to be considered an independent contractor. And if someone does not meet one of those criteria, then the employer has the option of either bringing them on full time. That means, you know, 40 hours of work, health care, retirement benefits, and everything. And by the way, if someone is a, you know, self-employed freelancer, maybe they, you know, they're seeking out a dozen contracts, and they can make more money that way than being employed full time. Or maybe, you know, they're a college student. And they're looking for a side hustle. So California basically up through everything that was before, and everyone who's looking for flexible work can no longer do so because of those really ridiculous restrictions.
No. Well, the California law, you know, certainly seems to be a perfect example of what not to do. But what advice would you give Pennsylvania policymakers going forward as they wrestle with not only you know, standards, regulations for independent contracting, but what would a better system look like? What are some positive changes that that we might be able to recommend?
Government should really just allow contract freedom. Meaning that, you know, workers and employers can engage in voluntary agreements without these crazy restrictions. And, you know, Grant, if you want to have a business where you have 10 different contracts consulting and that works for you, that works for your life and your income and your goals, you should be allowed to. The government shouldn't be in that process if it's voluntary in nature. Frankly, even from the employer side, there's often project-based initiatives or different seasonal requirements. And so even from the business side, it can make sense to bring on contractors during different parts of the year. Now, absence of just what I would call full contract freedom, state lawmakers can support common law independent contractor standards just as they're enforced by the IRS today and across different federal entities. So, you know, the states can implement their own common law contractor test that mirrors the IRS guidance or is less restrictive. And then the other thing I would say is that, you know, Pennsylvania lawmakers can pass a resolution putting stakes in the ground that they support independent entrepreneurs, they support independent contractors. And we saw this in the state of Tennessee. There was a resolution celebrating the accomplishments this past session of independent workers, and especially when crazy things are going on in California, right, that Pennsylvania doesn't need. It's important to put those stakes out in the ground.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that in terms of future guidance as well, I think our policymakers would be well served to listen to the people who are actually on the ground as independent contractors. And we have a Pennsylvania independent contractor on with us today as well. Her name is Marilyn Kostick. She lives in southwestern Pennsylvania. Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, and my pleasure to be on today.
No, thank you. I understand that, you know, you've been an independent contractor for quite some time. I guess I would start off by asking, you know, how long have you been an independent contractor? What does your work entail, and why was that an attractive option for you as you were, you know, choosing to, you know, what your career and work was going to be going forward?
I have been an independent contractor for 38 years. And I am in the retail cosmetic industry. I actually chose this sort of by accident because prior to this, I was employed, a regular employee. I was a medical lab technician, and my husband had changed jobs, and we had moved, and I had three small children. And when we were looking for me to go back to work under an employment, most of my pay would have been gone to childcare. And most of my work schedule would have been weekends and holidays. So therefore, I was looking for an alternative. And my business came up as a way of supplementing this, and I started out very part-time. The thing that drew me to being an independent contractor, and I loved all of Erica's comments about what this does give us as freedom, I can control my own schedule. And that actually, the flexibility of my position was one that really attracted me to it. Raising three children, and my husband was working on a night shift, and I had three children in the evening, so I needed something that was very flexible. So that was one of the things that really drew me to it. The other thing was that I had the freedom to do as much as I wanted, when I wanted, and I wasn't under a quota. The company that I'm with did not require a quota, which would appeal to me if I had other things going on in my life that were more important and had a priority. Example, I had two sick parents at the time, and they required some time away, and I didn't have to report to someone and answer to someone. And also, let that person down if I was obligated to a regular job. So those things were really the main things that drew me to this. And as I stated, I started out very part-time. And as the years went on, I kept growing and growing my business. And by the time I thought, well, maybe I will go back to a regular job, I had spoiled myself actually into being an independent contractor, and I liked it. So that's my story.
No, that's great. And that's a wonderful, wonderful story of success and, you know, being able to take charge of your destiny and do what works for you. When you first started to where you are now, you know, what has changed? How is the landscape of laws and regulations that you have to come in contact with? How has that changed? What are your biggest challenges as you try to navigate that?
Well, I think the industry all over has changed, especially, I mean, we're seeing that this last year has been really a sort of a turmoil. But I actually tried to contact the company that I am under an independent contractor with. I did try to contact, we do have a legal department that really, you know, helps us, guide us with rules and regulations that we're supposed to follow. And the changes that we're able to make, we do have a support system with our company that we are contractors with. So that does help us make the changes. And the biggest changes that we've made over the last couple years have been a lot of virtual appointments, a lot of online, you know, Facebook, face-to-face on the phone, you know, FaceTime. So we're able to switch what we do as independent contractors, especially now with the limits on with the COVID. We're able to do appointments by phone and by other, you know, social media. So that has helped us.
Now, I know you've been following, you know, the trends and the changes that have been going on, especially in the light of the California law with AB5.
Right.
How would your status change as an independent contractor if Pennsylvania were to adopt a California style law? You know, what impact would that have on your business specifically, and what changes would you have to make?
That's a good question, and that was why I really did try to before today's call try to contact our legal department, because when Erica was reading her ABC, that really is what our business is. We do follow those guidelines, and I don't really know what our main company would do about that, but because everybody that signs up is an independent contractor, we do get a 1099. You know, we don't have taxes taken out. So I don't know what our company would do, because we have people in all the states, so I don't really know how they would handle that.
It has to be, you know, very – after having been able to do this and have the freedom to, you know, make the schedule and make the time of type of life and job that you've had, I mean, anything that threatens that livelihood, you know, we all take very seriously, and we take very seriously here in Harrisburg as well. What would you say to legislators, or what have you said to legislators, other policymakers, about, you know, positive changes that would make your life easier, make it a viable option for you to be an independent contractor going forward, to, you know, do whatever type of expansion of your business that you'd like to, you know, what are some reforms that would make your life easier and make your job easier?
Well, that's what I was referring to. I don't really know if we would have special guidelines from our company that would help us maintain. I mean, certainly, like you said, after doing an independent contracting job for 38 years, it would be awful difficult to be put under specific laws and rules and, you know, different regulations. And I'm sure it would be a lot of work for our company itself to try to make that transition. And there might be a downfall, which I don't think we need right now with independent contractors and businesses. There's enough people hurting with businesses right now. So I don't think we need to be ruining jobs and careers and businesses that people have already built, especially after years of dedicated service to one position.
No, absolutely. I mean, at any time, you know, additional government regulation, taxation, impediments to entrepreneurship and job creation and innovation are certainly not welcome, but especially at this time, our state policymakers need to be mindful of, you know, not just the impact of COVID-19 on the economy, but also just in general. Pennsylvania's business climate has been suffering for decades before this, and we do not need to be in the business at the government level of making things even more difficult when we've had population growth and job growth lag the nation again for, and it's a matter of decades. It's not a short-term problem. In wrapping this up, Erica, do you have any final thoughts in terms of guidance going forward, and how Pennsylvanians can get involved in trying to shape law and regulation in this manner going forward?
Number one, thank you for having me on today, and all your listeners can get involved with Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania. It's really the leading grassroots organization to get involved so that your voice is heard in Harrisburg. And the one thing I would add, Grant, is really some of the things that have happened because of this pandemic. So we're seeing school districts, it's very tenuous as when they will be opening. Some are even doing hybrid, virtual and in-person different days. That makes it really difficult for working parents. And, you know, I heard something from Carrie Lucas. She's the president of Independent Women's Forum. And she said, you know, a generation ago, a woman had a baby and she had to make the choice of either going back to a 9-to-5 job or quit working, you know, and stay full time with her family. And that's just really black and white. And today, a growing number of women and men are just rejecting these options and creating their own shades of gray. So through independent contracting, really around different childcare needs, again, you know, hopefully we're out of this pandemic soon, but a lot more folks are telecommuting or have different, you know, obligations. And independent contracting is a way for Americans to get, you know, income in the door, schedule it around the seasons of life, right? And then, frankly, just from the macro level, keeping the economy going, right? Because a lot of independent entrepreneurs are working out of their homes. So this is a win-win, Grant.
No, and you're exactly right. Pennsylvanians and all Americans will be it's not going to change in the direction of, you know, wanting to have more flexibility and more options for how they balance their work and family lives. Marilyn, again, thank you for being on too. Do you have any final comments?
No, I just want to enforce what Erica just said. Personally, talking to a lot of people and even consultants that I work with, that is a main concern of theirs. We talk about the schooling. We do have the advantages of an independent contractor. My children are grown right now, but other consultants that I have young children, they do have that flexibility, and it has given them an opportunity to be there. Like you said, when the schools did close and the children were home, it was actually a plus that they had already had instituted into their career. So to take that away, like you said, there are a lot of people that can't work from home. So that is one of the big advantages that independent contractors have. So, and again, thank you for having me on, and I will be in tune and looking to see where this all goes. So,
well, great. Again, Erica, Marilyn, thank you very much for your time today, and thank you for the benefit of all of your expertise and experience. It's, again, been a great pleasure. And to all of you out there, thank you for listening. We'll be around twice a month on this podcast of Grant Us Knowledge. Look for us on the first and third Mondays of each month. And if you want more information about Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania and what we're doing to expand liberty and fight for free choice and breaking barriers to opportunity, you can find us on Facebook, Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania. Follow us on Twitter at AFP Pennsylvania. So again, thank you all for your for listening. I look forward to doing this many more times in the future. And signing off here, this is Grant Goulibon, Deputy State Director with Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania on Grant Us Knowledge. Have a great day.